الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. There are 10 major signs of the Day of Judgment. All of what we were talking about were the minor signs, العلامات الصغرى. The major ones are 10. The minor signs occur over a period of centuries. The first of them was the messengerhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the major signs of the Day of Judgment are very close to the Day of Judgment itself. And whenever one of them happens, the rest are going to follow very soon. With the minor signs, there could be hundreds of years between some of them. Decades. But with the major signs, Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith, الْآيَاتُ خَرَزَاتٌ مَنْظُمَاتٌ فِي سِلْكٍ فَإِنْ يُقْطَعَ السِّلْكِ يَتْبَعْ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا رواه أحمد. Rasulullah ﷺ says, the major signs are beads in a string. When the string is cut, all of them would fall down. If you have beads on a string, like a musbaha, and you cut the string, if one bead falls down, all of them would follow. So the 10 signs are very close to each other. What are the 10 signs? This hadith is in Muslim, عن حذيفة بن قسيب الغفاري. قال اطلع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علينا ونحن نتذاكر. فقال ما تذاكرون؟ قالوا نذكر الساعة. قال إنها لن تقوم حتى ترون قبلها 10 آيات. فذكر الدخان والدجال والدابة وطلوع الشمس من مغربها ونزول عيسى بن مريم صلى الله عليه وسلم ويأجوج ومأجوج وثلاثة خسوف، خسف بالمشرق وخسف بالمغرب وخسف بجزيرة العرب، وآخر ذلك نار تخرج من اليمن تطرد الناس إلى محشرهم. رواه مسلم. Now these are not signs are not in the chronological order. These are in one hadith, but they're not. Don't take this sequence as the sequence of the signs. Hudhayfa bin Asayd al-Ghifari, one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ, says Rasulullah visited us and we were talking. He passed next to us and we were talking. He said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "We're talking about as-sa'ah, the hour, the Day of Judgment." Rasulullah ﷺ said, "It will not happen until you see 10 signs." He mentioned al-dukhan, smoke, al-dajjal, the false messiah, al-dabba, the beast, طلوع الشمس من مغربها, the rise of the sun from the west, ونزول عيسى بن مريم, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the descendancy of عيسى ابن مريم, and the أجوج المأجوج, وثلاثة خسوف, خسف بالمشرق وخسف بالمغرب وخسف بجزيرة العرب, and 3 earthquakes or earth swallowing. One in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula. وَآخِرُ ذَلِكَ نَارٌ تَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ تَطْرُدُ النَّاسَ إِلَى مَحْشَرِهِمْ. And in the end, there will be a fire that comes out from Yemen, and it would push the people towards the land of Mahshar. The land of Mahshar is where the accountability will be held, the Day of Judgment. These are the 10 signs of the Day of Judgment. Which is the first sign? What is the first sign of the Day of Judgment? Al-Dajjal. Okay, there's a hadith that says that the first sign of the Day of Judgment is the rise of the sun from the west. So which is first, Al-Dajjal or the rise of the sun? Al-Dajjal is first. Even though there's a hadith that says that the rise of the sun is the first sign, but the scholars still say that Al-Dajjal is the first. How could they say this when there's a hadith? They say that there are signs of the Day of Judgment that relate to changes in the universe. These signs, the first of them would be the rise of the sun from the west. Because the rise of the sun of the west is an unusual cosmological change. It's something different in the universe. The other signs, which are the Dajjal, the smoke, the beast, are things happening on earth. These will happen before the order of the universe changes. But the first sign of change in the universe would be the rise of the sun from the west. And then after that, the universe would fall down. Things would start falling out of order. The moon would fall down, stars would fall down, the sky would crack. But the first sign of change in the universe would be the sun. But the first of the 10 signs to happen would be Al-Dajjal. Al-Dajjal would be number one. We'll just talk about the meaning of Al-Dajjal, and then we'll leave the rest of the talk about Al-Dajjal until next week. His name is Al-Masih Al-Dajjal. المسيح الدجال. It's a name made out of two words. المسيح and الدجال. What are the meanings of these two words? المسيح itself, one of the scholars, the author of قاموس المحيط, he says that the word المسيح could have 50 meanings. It's one of the very rich words. It has a lot of meanings. Some of the meanings of المسيح, something that is wiped out. And الدجال is called المسيح because one of his eyes is wiped out. There's no eye. المسيح could mean somebody who مسح الأرض, who would travel all over the world. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith that الدجال would travel all over the world in 40 days. He would wrap the whole world. Another meaning of the word المسيح, interestingly enough, is الكذاب and الصديق. The word المسيح could have two opposite meanings. And this could happen in the Arabic language if you would have a word that means two opposite things. One of them is al-Siddiq, the truthful, and the other one is the liar. Just like the word Adam. The word Adam has two meanings. One of them is original and one of them is a meaning that came later. The original meaning of the word Adam is dark. Something that is dark. But it also can be used to mean fair. Something that is fair color. So we could use the word Adam to describe a dark skin. And he could use it to describe fair skin. And it was used exactly that way in a hadith. When it is used to describe Adam, it means dark skin. And when it is used to describe Isa, it means fair skin. The same word, Adam. So al-Masih means truthful, and it also means liar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created two Masih, two Messiahs. One of them is al-Masih al-Dajjal, and the other one is al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam. One of them is al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam, which is the truthful Messiah. And the other one is al-Masih al-Dajjal, the liar Messiah, which is al-Dajjal. Also the word al-Masih means anointed, and this would apply to Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. So these are some of the meanings that it has. Al-Dajjal, the word al-Dajjal, there are some words in Arabic that were actually describing something physical, and then they started picking up other connotations and meanings. Dajjal al-Ba'ir means painting the color of the camel with qatran. Qatran is a black dye, black paint. For some reason, some of the Arabs used to dye the camels with that cover, Allah alam, to heal us from something, or, but it would change the color. It would change the color of the camel. Therefore, it is concealing something. It is changing the color of something. And that meaning applies to a Dajjal. Because he's not telling the truth. He's covering up something. He's changing the truth. Dajjal al-Shay. When you use the word as Dajjal al-Hadith, for example, it means coating something with gold. When you coat something with gold, it is called Dajjal. If you bring something and you, those watches that are electroplated, when there is something that is actually a cheap metal, and then you coat it with gold, that is called Dajjal. So it looks like gold. It looks beautiful from the outside. But inside, it is nothing. And that is also a Dajjal. Because he is showing something, but in reality, he is evil. He's claiming that he's God. He would claim that he's righteous. He would claim that he's bringing peace to the world. But he is evil. In the end, he's an unbeliever. He's a disbeliever. That's also another meaning of al-Dajjal. Also, al-Dajjal means deception. It means lying. It means an imposter. It carries all of these meanings. And all of these meanings apply on al-Dajjal. These are meanings of the word al-Dajjal, and they all apply on him. So subhanAllah, you see how one title would carry all of these meanings all in one. And how Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم named, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم these names. Some descriptions of his appearance. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this hadith narrated by Abu Dawood, إِنِّي قَدْ حَدَّثْتُكُمْ عَنِ الدَّجَّالِ حَتَّى خَشِيتُ أَلَّا تَعْقِلُوا إن مسيح الدجال رجل قصير أفحج جعد أعور مطموس العين ليس بناتئة ولا حجراء
فإن ألبس عليكم فاعلموا أن ربكم ليس بأعور.
So Allah Ta'ala says, I talked to you so much about the Dajjal, and I'm afraid that you're not going to remember everything I said. So Rasulullah used to talk about the Dajjal frequently. He used to mention him a lot. And Rasulullah says, مَا مِن نَبِي إِلَّا وَحَذَّرَ قَوْمَهُ مِنَ الدَّجَّالِ. Every Nabi of Allah has warned his people from the Dajjal. Because Rasulullah says, مَا مِن فِتْنَةٍ مُنْدُ أَنْ خُلِقَ آدَمْ إِلَى قِيَامِ السَّاعَةَ أَشَدْ مِن فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ. There is no trial, no tribulation, since the creation of Adam until the Day of Judgment, greater than the trial and the tribulation of a Dajjal. And Rasulullah says, وَلَقَدْ أَنْذَرَ نُوحٌ قَوْمَهُ. Even Nuh, he warned his people about the Dajjal. And Rasulullah talked to the Sahaba so much about the Dajjal, he was worried that they're not going to remember all of the information he said. So he told them that he's a short man, and he described his eye that it is not, I mean, he cannot see with it, but Rasulullah says that the eye is not out of the socket, and it's not way in. So it seems that it's somehow sealed in its place. And then Rasulullah said that Ad-Dajjal is a'war, one-eyed, and your Lord is not one-eyed. Why did Rasulullah say your Lord is not one-eyed? Because Ad-Dajjal eventually will claim that he is God. And that's why Rasulullah is saying that your Lord is not one-eyed. He's not Allah, he's not God. So that's a very important description of his, that he is one-eyed. Another description in Bukhari, مَا بُعِثَ نَبِيٌّ إِلَّا أَنْذَرَ أُمَّتَهُ الْأَعْوَرَ وَكَذَّابُ أَلَا إِنَّهُ أَعْوَرُ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرُ وَإِنَّ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ مَكْتُوبٌ كَافِرٌ. Rasulullah says, every prophet has warned his people from the one-eyed liar. He is one-eyed and your Lord is not one-eyed, and between his eyes is written kafir. In another hadith in Muslim, this hadith is in Bukhari, another hadith in Muslim, Rasulullah says that it is written between his eyes, kafir, and it can be read by the literate and the illiterate. Therefore, it crosses the boundaries of language and literacy. If a person is a mu'min, they will be able to recognize that sign that this man is a disbeliever. Kafir is disbeliever. And this hadith narrated in Muslim, these are not the words of Rasulullah, but he approved them. We'll get into this hadith and we'll go through the whole hadith. It's a very long hadith. But this phrase of the hadith, فَانْطَلَقْنَا سِرَاعًا حَتَّى دَخَلْنَا الدَّيْرِ فَإِذَا فِيهِ أَعْظَمُ إِنسَانٍ رَأَيْنَاهُ قَطْ خَلْقًا. Tamim al-Dari, one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah, he saw a Dajjal. And this hadith is in Muslim. And he said, we saw a man, we never saw a man that is bigger, larger than him. So he's very huge. Keep in mind that in the other hadith in Abu Dawud, it says that he was short. And this is could be problematic sometimes when we read about the description of a Dajjal. And it's even going to get more confusing when we start talking about the Musayyad. Therefore, a Dajjal is not as simple as we imagine and perceive. There's a bit of complications in it. But the hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ are sufficient to help us when he does appear. We might not be able to have an exact perception of what he is now. But when he does come out, then things are going to be clear. Because it seems that from when you look to one hadith and another, you might think that there's contradictions, but they're not. They're describing different things of a Dajjal. عن أبي سعيد الخدري قال صاحبت بن صائد في إلى مكة فقال لي أما قد لقيت من الناس يزعمون أني الدجال ألست سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنه لا يولد له قال قلت بلى قال فقد ولد لي. This is the conversation between Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and a man, his name is Ibn Sayyad. This is in Muslim. And Ibn Sayyad is telling Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, didn't you hear Rasulullah ﷺ say that the Dajjal will have no children? Abu Sa'id said yes. So one of the other descriptions of a Dajjal is that he will not have any children. This is another description that we have about a Dajjal. Now, let's ask this question. Is a Dajjal alive? Was he alive at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ? Is he alive now? And the answer is yes. He is alive. Now, where is he exactly? This is what we're going to talk about next. And we'll talk about a Jewish man. His name is Ibn Sayyad. Ibn Sayyad was a Jew from Medina. And he used to be into magic and fortune telling and jinn and all of those things and shayateen. He was into that since his young age. Was he a Dajjal or wasn't he? Was this man Ibn Sayyad a Dajjal or not? Now why would we ask the question to start with? Well, we ask this question because some of the Sahaba thought that he was a Dajjal. In fact, they would swear that he is a Dajjal. Like Umar ibn Khattab and Jabir Abdullah, they would say, in the name of Allah, Ibn Sayyad is a Dajjal. Let's talk about this man a little bit. He is a Jew, as I said, from Medina. Whether he became a Muslim or not, he did claim that he was a Muslim. But then, was that true or not? Allahu alam. Although, of his sons was Imara. One of his sons, his name is Imara. And he was a scholar of Islam, Imara. And al-Zahabi says about him, وَمِنْ وَلَدِهِ عِمَارَةَ وَكَانَ مِنْ خِيَارِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ سَعِيدِ بْنِ الْمُسَيِّبِ رَوَى عَنْهُ مَالِكَ وَغَيْرَهُ. الذهبي says that one of his sons or children is Imara, and he was one of the righteous Muslims, and he was a companion of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, one of the greatest scholars of the Tabi'een, and Imam Malik narrated some ahadith from him. And Imam Malik used to respect him a lot. So the son, Imara, was a Muslim. But the guy himself, let's dig a little bit deeper into his story. The reason why we talk about Ibn Sayyad in the first place is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was suspicious about him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some suspicions about Ibn Sayyad. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never reached a decision in this man, whether he was a Dajjal or not. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن عمر انطلق مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في رهط قبل ابن صياد حتى وجدوه يلعب مع الصبيان عند أطمي بني مغالة. ابن عمر says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and عمر and some of the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they went to see ابن صياد. They went to visit him. And he was young at the time. He was a kid. And he was playing with children next to an area called Bani Maghala, the neighborhood of Bani Maghala. وَقَدْ قَارَبَ ابْنُ صَيَّادَ الْحُلُمُ. And Ibn Sayyad at the time was almost the age of puberty. فَلَمْ يَشْعُرْ حَتَّى ضَرَبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ بِيَدِهِ. And Ibn Sayyad suddenly felt the hand of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم on him. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِبْنِ صَيَّاد تَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him, do you bear witness? Do you testify that I am the messenger of Allah? Ibn Sayyad said, أشهد أنك رسول الأميين. I bear witness and I testify that you are the messenger to the Gentiles. Meaning, you're not the messenger to us, the Jews. You are to the Gentiles. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم pushed him away. فرفضه وقال, آمنت بالله وبرسله. Rasulullah pushed him away and said, I believe in Allah and His messengers. And then Ibn Sayyad said, أتشهد أني رسول الله. Ibn Sayyad said, do you testify that I am the messenger of Allah? That's when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم pushed him away and said, I believe in Allah and His messengers. فقال له ماذا ترى. Rasulullah asked him, what are you seeing? Because it was famous now that Ibn Sayyad was receiving these revelations from jinn. So Rasulullah was asking him, what do you see? قال يأتيني صادق وكاذب. I receive a liar and I receive a truthful. And you know, the whole way that Ibn Sayyad is talking is symbol, and sometimes it's even complicated to understand what he's talking about. يَأْتِينِ صَادِقٌ وَكَاذِبٌ. I'm receiving a true and I'm receiving a lie. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, خُلِّطَ عَلَيْكَ الْأَمْرِ. You are confused. Rasulullah told him, you are confused. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنِّي قَدْ خَبَّأْتُ لَكَ خَبِيئًا. Rasulullah wants to test him. Rasulullah said, I am hiding away something from you. What am I hiding? So Rasulullah wants to see, is this man dealing with jinn or what is he doing? So Rasulullah said, I am hiding something away from you. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant, I am keeping for you, I am hiding away from you, Surah Al-Dukhan. The Surah of Dukhan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation of Surah Al-Dukhan and he wanted to recite it on Ibn Sayyad. So he said, I'm hiding, what do I want to tell you? What am I hiding away from you? Ibn Sayyad said, هُوَ الدُّخْ. You are hiding from me, دُخْ. دُخْ is half of the word, دُخَان. Now either Ibn Sayyad was playing games with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying dukh, or the information that he's receiving from the jinn is missing. He's receiving half of the information. So he said ad-dukh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pushed him away and said ikhsa falan ta'dil qadrak. Shut up, you are never going to go over your level. Rasulullah means by this is that, and you're not going to know the unseen, and you're never going to, I mean, you are not going to get over the level that is set for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِخْتَى فَلَمْ تَعْدُ قَدْرَةً. You're not going to get beyond your limit. Umar bin Khattab said, دَعْنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَضْرِبْ عُنُقَهُ. Let me chop off his head. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنْ يَكُنْ فَلَنْ تُسَلَّطَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فَلَا خَيْرَ لَكَ فِي قَتْلِهِ. Rasulullah said, O Umar, if it is him, then you're not going to be able to kill him. And if it's not him, then there is no good in killing him. If it is a Dajjal, then you're not going to be able to kill him. We know that the only one in the world who can kill a Dajjal is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is him, you're not going to be able to kill him. And if it's not him, there's no good in killing him. Leave him alone. He's never going to get beyond his limit. We also learn from this clause, from this phrase of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah himself was not sure about the reality of this man. Because he said, if it is him, you're not going to be able to kill him. If it's not him, then there's no good in killing him. So Rasulullah, until that moment, Rasulullah was still testing him. This is one hadith, and this hadith is in Bukhari. Another hadith, عن أبي سعيد قال لقيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر وعمر في بعض طرق المدينة فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتشهد أني رسول الله فقال هو أتشهد أني رسول الله فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ما ترى قال أرى عرشا على الماء فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ترى عرش إبليس على البحر وما ترى قال أرى صادقين وكاذبا أو كاذبين وصادقا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لبس عليه دعوة رواه مسلم. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him with Rasulullah and Abu Bakr and Umar were going through one road in Medina and they met with Ibn Sayyad. They met him. So Rasulullah stopped him. And Rasulullah told him, do you testify that I am the messenger of Allah? So he said, do you testify that I am the messenger of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I believe in Allah and His angels and His books. What are you seeing? What are you receiving? He said, I see a throne over water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is seeing the throne of Iblis. Because we know that the throne of Iblis is on water. So this man is very suspicious. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, and what else? What else are you seeing? He said, I see one liar and two truthfuls, or one truthful and two liars. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him alone, he is confused. So this is in Muslim. Rasulullah still wanted to test him further. And this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to sneak on him and listen to what he's saying when he's speaking to himself. And this is in Bukhari. قال ابن عمر انطلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بن كعب يأتيان النخل الذي فيه ابن صياد حتى إذا دخل النخل طفق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتقي بجذوع النخل وهو يختل ابن صياد أن يسمع من ابن صياد شيئا قبل أن يراه وابن صياد مضطجع على فراشه في قطيفة له فيها رمزة. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and Ubay ibn Ka'ab, they went close to where Ibn Sayyad was, and he was next to a palm tree. This is in a palm farm. When Rasulullah got there, he was hiding behind the palm trees so that Ibn Sayyad would not see him, and Rasulullah was able to listen, because at that moment Ibn Sayyad might have been speaking to his jinn, his shayateen. So Rasulullah was hiding and trying to get closer to him because he wanted to hear from Ibn Sayyad before Ibn Sayyad sees him. And Ibn Sayyad was laying down on a mat and some voices were coming out from him. لَهُ فِيهَا رَمْزَةٌ فَرَأَتْ أُمُّ بْنِ صَيَّادٍ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ يَتَّقِي بِجِذُوعِ النَّخْلِ فَقَالَتْ لِبْنِ صَيَّادٍ أَيْ صَاف وَهُوَ أَسْمُهُ فَسَارَ بْنُ صَيَّادٍ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو تركته بين. The mother of Ibn Sayyad saw Rasulullah, and she warned her son and said, Saf, because one of his name is Saf. She said, Saf, Rasulullah is there. The narrator of the hadith Ibn Umar says, Fathar ibn Sayyad. He jumped up. And then Rasulullah said, if she left him alone, then he would have disclosed his identity. If she would have left him alone, I would have been able to know who he really was. But that is what happened. Rasulullah was not able to recognize what he was talking about because his mother, the mother of Ibn Sayyad, warned him. Now, was Ibn Sayyad the Dajjal or not? Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, this is in Bukhari, he says, رَأَيْتُ جَابِرِ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ يَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ ابْنَ صَيَّادِ هُوَ الدَّجَّالِ Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, one of the Tabi'een, he says, I saw Jabir ibn Abdullah, one of the Ansar, making an oath in the name of Allah that Ibn Sayyad is a Dajjal. So I told him, how can you do so? Are you so sure that he is a Dajjal? Jabir ibn Abdullah said, إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ عُمَرْ يَحْلِفُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَمْ يُمْكِرْهُ النَّبِيِّ Jabir ibn Abdullah said, I have seen Umar ibn Khattab swearing in the name of Allah that Ibn Sayyad is a Dajjal, and Rasulullah ﷺ did not disapprove him. Umar in front of Rasulullah ﷺ said, Wallahi, Ibn Sayyad is a Dajjal, and Rasulullah was silent. عن نافع قال كان ابن عمر يقول والله ما أشك أن المسيح الدجال ابن صياد سنن أبي داود. نافع says that Ibn Umar used to say, Wallahi, I have no doubt that Ibn Sayyad is al-Masih al-Dajjal. And al-Nafi'in قال لقي ابن عمر ابن صياد ابن صائد ابن صياد أو ابن صائد في بعض طرق المدينة فقال له قولا أغضبه فانتفخ حتى ملأ السكة. Ibn Umar met Ibn Sayyad once. They met in a road in Medina. And Ibn Umar told Ibn Sayyad something that made him upset. When he became angry, he expanded in size until he filled the whole road. He just expanded in size like a balloon until he filled the whole road. Ibn Umar went and spoke to his sister, the wife of Rasulullah ﷺ, Umm Hafsa. She said, leave him alone. Don't you know that the Dajjal is going to come out after he becomes upset? The turning point which will make a Dajjal come out to the world, because he's living now, but he's away from events. What will make him come out is an explosion of anger. So Umm Hafsa is saying, leave him alone. So you can see that many of the Sahaba, they were suspicious about this man. Even Umm Hafsa, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال إنما يخرج من غضبة يغضبها. This is in Muslim. Now Ibn Sayyad himself, he didn't like this. He disliked people being suspicious about him. And when he became Muslim, because in the beginning when Rasulullah ﷺ was dealing with him, at that time he was not Muslim yet, but then he became Muslim. And he used to dislike the suspicions that people have. In this hadith, this is in Muslim. عن أبي سعيد الخدري قال خرجنا حجاجا أو عمارا ومعنا ابن صائد قال فنزلنا منزلا فتفرق الناس وبقيت أنا وهو فاستوحشت منه وحشة شديدة مما يقال عليه. أبي سعيد الخدري says that once we went in Hajj or Umrah and Ibn Sa'id was with us, he was accompanying us. And we stopped in one station and all the people went their own ways except me and him. We're alone. And I felt very uncomfortable being with him because of what people used to say about him. I didn't feel comfortable being around him because of the suspicions that people have against him. وَجَاءَ بِمَتَاعِهِ فَوَضَعَهُ مَعْ مَتَاعِهِ And he brought his luggage and he put it over the luggage of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. فَقُلْتُ إِنَّ الْحَرَّ شَدِيدٌ فَلَوْ وَضَعْتَهُ تَحْتَ تِلْكَ الشَّجَرَةِ Abu Sa'id said, when he put his stuff over mine, I said, you know, it's very hot. Can you please take your stuff and put it next to that tree? He doesn't even want his luggage to touch his. He says, you know, the weather is very hot. Can you please take your stuff and put it under that tree? So he did so. قال فرفعت لنا غنم فانطلق فجاء بعس فقال اشرب أبا سعيد فقلت إن الحر شديد واللبن حار ما بي إلا أني أكره أن أشرب عن يده أو قال آخذ عن يده. We saw some goats. So Ibn Sayyad, he went and he brought some milk in a cup. And he presented it to me and said, drink. I told him, the weather is very hot, and the milk is hot. Abu Sa'id says, the only reason I didn't want to drink is that I didn't want to take anything from his hand. I didn't want to take anything from his hand. And I found an excuse. I said, you know, the weather is very hot and milk now is going to be hot. I don't want to drink. At that moment, Abu Sayyad understood. He knew that there's another reason why he doesn't want to deal with him.
فقال أبا سعيد لقد هممت أن آخذ حبلا فأعلقه بشجرة ثم أختنق مما يقول لي الناس.
He said, oh Abu Sa'id, I was thinking about getting a rope and hanging myself and committing suicide because of what people are saying about me. He immediately knew that he doesn't want to touch anything from his hand. He said, because of these suspicions that people are having about me, I was thinking about committing suicide because of all of the suspicions that you have against me. And then he said, يا أبا سعيد من خفي عليه حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما خفي عليكم معشر الأنصار ألست من أعلم الناس بحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said, oh Abu Sa'id, you the Ansar are the ones who know the hadith of Rasulullah most, and especially you. You are one of the most knowledgeable people about the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Isn't that true?
And then he said, أليس قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو كافر وأنا مسلم. Didn't Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم say that a Dajjal is a non-believer and I am a Muslim?
أوليس قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو عقيم لا يولد له وقد تركت ولدي بالمدينة.
Didn't Rasulullah say that a Dajjal is infertile and he has no children and I have left my children in Medina?
أوليس قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل المدينة ولا مكة وقد أقبلت من المدينة وأنا أريد مكة.
Didn't Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم say that a Dajjal is not going to go to Medina or Mecca, and I just came out of Medina and I'm going to Mecca? It's very convincing from this that he's not a Dajjal. And the way he was speaking, he was very upset and he said, you're having all of these suspicions about me, and you know the hadith of Rasulullah, and none of the descriptions of a Dajjal apply to me. If we would stop right here, then we would say that definitely he's not a Dajjal. People are just having suspicions about him.
But then look at what happened. قال أبو سعيد حتى كدت أن أعذره.
Abu Sa'id said, I was about to excuse him. I was about to believe him and take his word.
ثم قال أما والله إني لأعرفه وأعرف مولده وأين هو الآن.
And then Ibn Sa'id said, but I know who Ad-Dajjal is, and I know where he was born, and I know where he is now. Messed up the whole thing. فقال أبو سعيد تبا لك سائر اليوم. May evil befall you the rest of the day.
And in another narration, the same story, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri asked him, now this hadith that I mentioned is a Muslim, this also one is a Muslim. This is not a hadith of Rasulullah, it's a hadith of a Sahaba documented in Muslim. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri told him, وَقِيلَ لَهُ أَيَسُرُّكَ أَنَّكَ ذَاكَ الرَّجُلُ. Abu Sa'id asked him, would you be pleased if you were a Dajjal? قَالَ لَوْ عُرِضَ عَلَيَّ مَا كَرِهْ.
If it was presented to me, I would accept it. If the role of a Dajjal is presented to me, I would accept it. So now, we're back to our confusion again about Ibn Sayyad.
The problem is not solved yet. Now, there is counter evidence that Ibn Sayyad is not a Dajjal. And this is from a hadith in Muslim. It's a long hadith. It's one of the long hadith. عن فاطمة بنت قيس أخت الضحاك بن قيس سمعت نداء المنادي منادي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينادي الصلاة جامعة فخرجت إلى المسجد فصليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكنت في صف النساء التي تلي ظهور القوم فلما قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاته جلس على المنبر وهو يضحك فقال ليلزم كل إنسان مصلاه. فاطمة بنت قيس, one of the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, she said, I heard the caller of Salah calling everyone to the masjid. When they would want to announce something, they would make adhan, so all of the people would come to the masjid. So I went to the masjid and I prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was with the woman. And the woman used to pray towards the back of the masjid. And she said that I was in the front rows of the women, so I was close to the men. فلما قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاته when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم finished his prayer, he sat down on the pulpit and he was smiling and he said, stay in your places, stay in the place of your salah. Rasulullah wanted to speak to them and he was smiling, he said, stay
in the place of your salah.
قَالَ أَتَدْرُونَ لِمَا جَمَعَتُكُمْ?
Do you know why I gathered you?
قَالُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ.
They said, Allah and His Messenger know best.
قَالَ إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا جَمَعَتُكُمْ لِرَغْبَةٍ وَلَا لِرَهْبَةٍ وَلَكِنْ جَمَعَتُكُمْ لِأَنَّ تَمِيمًا الدَّارِي كَانَ رَجُلًا نَصْرَانِيًا فَجَاءَ فَبَايَعَ وَأَسْلَمُ.
Rasulullah said, I did not gather you to promise you something or to warn you from something, but I gathered you because Tamim al-Dari was a Christian and he just came to me right now and he became a Muslim.
وَحَدَّثَنِي حَدِيثًا وَافَقَ الَّذِي كُنْتُ أُحَدِّثُكُمْ عَنْ مَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ.
And he told me a story that is similar to what I was telling you about al-Dajjal.
حَدَّثَنِي أَنَّهُ رَكِبَ فِي سَفِينَةٍ بَحْرِيَةٍ مَعَ 30 رَجُلًا مِنْ لَخْمٍ وَجُذَامٍ فَلَعِبَ بِهِمُ الْمَوْجُ شَهْرًا فِي الْبَحْرِ ثم أرسوا إلى جزيرة في البحر حتى مغرب الشمس فجلسوا في أقرب السفينة فدخلوا الجزيرة.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says, with 30 men from Lakhm and Judham, these are Christian Arab tribes, and the waves were playing with that ship of theirs, and they got lost for a month in the sea or the ocean, until the ship docked next to a island in the sea. So they sat in that boat because it was at night, and then in the morning they went into the island.
فَلَقِيَتْهُمْ دَابَّةٌ أَهْلَبُ كَثِيرُ الشَّعْبِ لَا يَدْرُونَ مَا قُبْلُهُ مِنْ دُبُرِهِ.
Rasulullah ﷺ says, they were met with an animal that is very hairy. You cannot distinguish the front from the back. This animal was covered with hair. So they could not recognize the front from the back. It's like a ball of hair.
فَقَالُوا وَيْلَكِ مَا أَنْتِ.
They said, woe to you, who are you? فَقَالَتْ أَنَا الْجَسَّاسَةِ. She said, I am الْجَسَّاسَةِ. The animal spoke.
قَالُوا وَمَا الْجَسَّاسَةِ? قَالَتْ أَيُّهَا الْقَوْمِ انْطَلِقُوا إِلَى هَذَا الرَّجُلِ فِي الدَّيْرِ فَإِنَّهُ إِلَى خَبَرِكُمْ بِالْأَشْوَاقِ.
They said, what is الْجَسَّاسَةِ? She ignored them and said, come with me to this man in this monastery because he wants to meet you. This man in this monastery wants to meet you.
قال لما سمت لنا رجلا فرقنا منها أن تكون شيطانة.
When she mentioned to us about the existence of a man, we were suspicious. She said this might be devil or something.
قال فانطلقنا سراعا حتى دخلنا الدير فإذا فيه أعظم إنسان رأيناه قط خلقا وأشده وثاقا مجموعة يداه إلى عنقه ما بين ركبتيه إلى كعبيه بالحديد.
We went in and we saw a man, he is the hugest man we ever saw, and he was tied up with chains from his ankles to his knees, tied with chains of iron, steel.
قلنا ويلك ما أنت.
We said, woe to you, who are you?
قال قد قدرتم على خبري فأخبروني ما أنتم.
He said, you already have seen me now, tell me about yourselves.
قالوا نحن أناس من العرب ركبنا في سفينة بحرية فصادفنا البحر حين اغتلم فلعب بنا الموج شهرا ثم أرسانا إلى جزيرتك هذه فجلسنا في أقربها فدخلنا الجزيرة فلقيتنا دابة أهلب.
So they told him the story that we are Arabs and we came and we got lost in the sea until we arrived here anyway. And then he said, أخبروني عن نخل بيسان. This man said, tell me about the palm trees of Baysan. Baysan is an area in Sham. He wants to know about its palm trees.
قلنا عن أي شأنها تستخبر؟ قال أسألكم عن نخلها هل يثمر؟
They said, what do you want to know about the palm trees of Baysan? He said, are they bearing any fruits?
قلنا له نعم.
We said yes.
قال أما إنه يوشك ألا تثمر.
He said, there will be a time when they will not bear any fruits.
قال أخبروني عن بحيرة الطبرية. قلنا عن أي شأنها تستخبر؟ قال هل فيها ماء؟ قالوا هي كثيرة الماء. قال أما إن ماءها يوشك أن يذهب.
He said, tell me about the lake of Tabariya. Tabariya is a lake in Palestine. He said, is there any water in it? They said, yes. He said, there will be a time when there will be no water left in it. Allah and the Yahud are going to finish it.
قال أخبروني عن عين زغر. قالوا عن أي شأنها تستخبر؟ قال هل في العين ماء وهل يزرع أهلها بماء العين؟ قلنا له نعم هي كثيرة الماء وأهلها يزرعون من مائها. قال أخبر ويزرعون عن مائها. So now he asked them about this spring water of Zughar. They said, what do you want to know about it? He said, is there any water in it? They said, yes. He said, are the people using that water in irrigation? They said, yes. There's a lot of water in it and people are using it in agriculture, but he didn't respond to that. But then he asked them, أخبروني عن نبي الأميين ما فعل. He said, tell me about the prophet of the illiterate people. Al-Ummiyin. And that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is an illiterate person sent to illiterate people.
قالوا قد خرج من مكة ونزل يثرب.
They said he left from Mecca and now he is in Yathrib. Yathrib is the old name of Medina.
قال أقاتله العرب. Did the Arabs fight him? They said yes. قال كيف صنع بهم.
He said, how did he do with them? Tell me about these battles between him and the Arabs.
فأخبرناه أنه قد ظهر على من يليه من العرب وأطاعوه.
They said he was victorious and now they are obedient to him.
قال لهم قد كان ذلك. He said, did that happen?
قلنا نعم. They said yes.
قال أما إن ذلك خير لهم أن يطيعوه.
He said it's better for them that they follow him. And now it's his turn to reveal his identity.
وإني مخبركم عني.
I'm going to tell you about myself.
إني أنا المسيح.
I am the Messiah.
وإني أوشك أن يؤذن لي في الخروج فأخرج فأسير في الأرض فلا أدع قرية إلا هبطتها في 40 ليلة غير مكة وطيبة فهما محرمتان علي كلتاهما كلما أردت أن أدخل واحدة أو واحدا منهما استقبلني ملك بيده السيف مسلطا يصدني عنها وإن على كل نقب منها ملائكة يحرسونها. قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وطعن بمخصرته في المنبر هذه طيبة هذه طيبة هذه طيبة يعني المدينة.
He said, I am the Messiah and it is about time that I will be allowed to leave. And I would travel all over the world and I will enter into every village and town in 40 days with the exception of Mecca and Taiba. Taiba is another name of Medina. I am not allowed to go there. Whenever I want to enter into one of them, an angel with a sword will stop me. And then he said, and there are angels protecting every entrance into Mecca and Medina. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hit his stick on the pulpit and he said, this is Taiba, this is Taiba, this is Taiba. Because he said Taiba. Dajjal, he said, I'm not going to be allowed to enter into Taiba. Rasulullah told him, this is Taiba. Al-Madinah is Taiba.
And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala hal kuntu haddathtukum dhalika?
Rasulullah said, didn't I tell you that before? فقال الناس نعم. People said, yes.
فإنه أعجبني حديث تميم أنه وافق الذي كنت أحدثكم عنه وعن المدينة ومكة ألا إنه في بحر الشام أو بحر اليمن لا بل من قبل المشرق ما هو من قبل المشرق ما هو من قبل المشرق ما هو.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told the Sahaba, didn't I tell you something similar? They said, yes you did. رسول الله said, I wanted you to hear the story of Tamim because it is compatible and the same as what I told you before.
And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is in the Sea of Asham. What is the Sea of Asham?
The Mediterranean. Or the Sea of Yemen. What is the Sea of Yemen? Either the Red Sea or the Arabian Sea.
But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, he is not.
And then Rasulullah pointed to the east and he said, he is in the east, he is towards the east, he is towards the east. So Dajjal is towards the east of Medina. Where exactly? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows.
Now, this hadith, there's a lot of things to learn from this hadith. One of them is that Dajjal is living. And that Tamim al-Dari saw him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved his hadith.
And we also know that Dajjal is going to travel all over the world in only 40 days. And that he's going to conquer all the world. With the exception of Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem.
Now, let's go back to the issue of Ibn Sayyad. How can Ibn Sayyad be a Dajjal when Tamim al-Dari saw a Dajjal in this island?
Al-Qurtubi says, والصحيح أن ابن صياد هو الدجال بدلالة ما تقدم وما يبعد أن يكون بالجزيرة في ذلك الوقت ويكون بين أظهر الصحابة في وقت آخر.
Al-Qurtubi says that there is no doubt, or he says, I adopt the opinion that Ibn Sayyad is a Dajjal, and it is not impossible for him to be in the island when Tamim al-Dari saw him, and to be in Medina in other times. But then some of the other scholars respond to this and say, well, how can Ibn Sayyad be a young kid in Medina and then be an adult, an old man in the island?
Al-Shawkani, he brought all of these opinions together, and then he mentions to us some of the opinions of the scholars.
Al-Shawkani says, وَقَدْ اخْتَلَفَ النَّاسُ فِي أَمْرِ ابْنِ صَيَّادِ اخْتِلَافًا شَدِيدًا وَأَشْكَلَ أَمْرُهُ حَتَّى قِيلَ فِيهِ كُلِّ قَوْلٍ.
Al-Shawkani says, people have every different opinion in regards to Ibn Sayyad. People are confused about the issue of Ibn Sayyad, and everybody has their own opinion.
وظاهر الحديث المذكور أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان مترددا في كونه هو الدجال أم لا.
And what we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah is that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم himself was not sure if Ibn Sayyad was a Dajjal or not. So if Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم himself was not sure, we cannot be sure.
And An-Nawawi, the opinion of An-Nawawi, says, قصة ابن صياد مشكلة وأمره مشتبه ولكن لا شك أنه دجال من الدجاجلة. An-Nawawi says, the story of Ibn Sayyad is problematic and his story is suspicious, but there is no doubt that he is at least one of Ad-Dajajilah. He is one of the imposters, at least. He might not be the imposter, Ad-Dajjal, but he could be one of them. Because Ad-Dajjal means an imposter, a liar. He could be one of them. But is he the false Messiah or not? Allahu alam.
By the way, in the Christian religion, they refer to Ad-Dajjal as the Antichrist. And the name in itself is correct. He is an antichrist. Because what does the word Christ mean? It comes from the Greek Christo, which means Messiah. And it carries the same meaning as the Arabic word Masih. Christ means the anointed one. And Masih in Arabic, also one of its meanings is the anointed one. So there is one true Messiah, which is Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam. And then there is an anti-Masih, a false Messiah, which is the Antichrist or Dajjal.
Ibn Hajar has an interesting story, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, but one of the narrators in the chain of narration is unknown to Ibn Hajar.
When you have a chain of narration, you need to know every one of them to know if they're truthful or not. If there is one narrator in the chain who is unknown, then that hadith is considered to be weak.
There is one unknown person in this chain. Otherwise, everyone else in the chain of narration is authentic, are truthful and trustworthy.
This story, وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَ أَبُو نَعِيمٍ الْأَصْبَحَانِي فِي تَارِيخ أَصْبَحَانِ مَا يُؤَكِّدْ كَوْنْ إِبْنْ صَيَّادْ هُوَ الدَّجَّالِ. Abu Na'im al-Asbahani, he mentions a story that happened in Asbahan that makes us assured that Ibn Sayyad is a Dajjal.
عن حسان بن عبد الرحمن عن أبيه قال لما افتتحنا أصبهان كان بين عسكرنا وبين اليهود فرسخ.
When we opened Asbahan, Asbahan is in Central Asia. When we opened it, there was a short distance between us and the Jews.
There were Jews living in Asbahan.
فكنا نأتيها فننتار منها. We used to go to the neighborhood of the Jews to buy our groceries.
فأتينا يوما فإذا اليهود يزفون.
We came one day and we found out that the Jews were celebrating.
فسألت صديقا لي منهم.
I asked one of my friends, one of them, a Jew.
I asked him, why are you
happy? What is this celebration for?
فقال هذا ملكنا الذي نستفتح به العرب.
He said, our king,
who will defeat the Arabs is here.
فدخلت فبت على سطح فصليت الغداء فلما طلعت الشمس إذا الوهج من قبل العسكر فنظرت فإذا هو ابن صياد فدخل المدينة فلم يعد حتى الساعة.
He said, I went to sleep on a roof of a house, and in the morning I was looking from the top of this house to see who this king was, and I saw that that king was Ibn Sayyad. He was there in Asbahan. He went all the way from Medina to Asbahan, and then he went into the city and he never came out again. You never saw him after that. Now this story becomes very interesting when you hear the hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ says that Ad-Dajjal is going to come out from Khurasan. Khurasan is very close to Asbahan, and he will be followed by 70,000 Jews from Asbahan. So this story becomes very interesting. When we know that Ibn Sayyad from Medina, he went to Asbahan, he went in there, he never came out, and then Rasulullah ﷺ says that he's going to come out from that area. But again, we cannot take this story at face value because there's one link missing in it. One in the chain of narration. Wallahu a'lam. Ibn Taymiyyah, what is the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah? أمر ابن صياد أشكل على بعض الصحابة فظنوه الدجال وتوقف فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى تبين له فيما بعد أنه ليس هو الدجال وإنما هو من جنس الكهان أصحاب الأحوال الشيطانية ولذلك كان يذهب ليختبره. Ibn Taymiyyah says, the issue of Ibn Sayyad is problematic, and it was problematic on some of the Sahaba. They thought that he was a Dajjal, but Rasulullah ﷺ did not have a decision until it was apparent to Rasulullah ﷺ in the end that he is not a Dajjal, but he is a liar, and he is a magician who used to deal with the devils. Ibn Taymiyyah says that Rasulullah came to the decision in the end that this is not a Dajjal, but he is a devil worshipper, or he has some dealings with الشياطين.
Ibn Kathir, he says, والمقصود أن ابن صياد ليس بالدجال الذي يخرج في آخر الزمان قطعا لحديث فاطمة بنت قيس وهو فيصل في هذا المقام. Ibn Kathir says, in conclusion, ابن صياد is not a Dajjal who will come out in the end of time for sure, and the evidence is the hadith of فاطمة بنت قيس, and it is decisive in this story, in this issue. Ibn Kathir says, for sure, this is not a Dajjal. So you can see that the scholars themselves have a variety of opinion on this man. Allahu A'lam. Now, what happened to Ibn Sayyad? Jabir says, فقدنا ابن صياد يوم الحرة. رواه أبو داود.
يوم الحرة was a battle that happened in Medina in the time of the reign of Bani Umayyah. Jabir says that he suddenly disappeared. Ibn Sayyad, he suddenly disappeared. Where did he go? Allahu A'lam. This is in Abu Dawud. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallam kathira.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com. For more lectures, visit slhub.com.